Once upon a time, there were four little rabbits.
How old are you, Johnny? She asked.
16.
We few, we happy few, we band of brothers.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
A wise old king once said, of the making of books, there is no end. How true today. Of the overabundance of writing published each year, what's worth reading? The answer is simple. Read only the best. Come join the discussion on Just the Best Literature.
Hello again, everyone. Thanks for listening in today. At the end of last week's program, I mentioned that we would continue the 60-plus panel discussion of Ben Franklin's thoughts on moral perfection and time management. Well, I've changed my mind. I've just returned from my two-week trip to England, and I have decided to forgo the 60-plus panel for today. And I want to skip ahead on programming and just give you my final thoughts on Ben Franklin's autobiography. But what this means, then, is on June 20th, KPCG will begin broadcasting the Shakespeare series I was able to tape at our sister campus at Edstone, at Stratford-upon-Avon, and at the Bosworth Battlefield in Leicestershire County in the Midlands of England. Two of the programs we were able to tape have already been edited and are ready for broadcast. I know that you will find them as exciting to listen to as I was excited to provide them for you. So all of England is just focused on Shakespeare right now because this is the 400th anniversary of his death. No matter where you drive, it seems like there's a flag advertising something related to Shakespeare. And, you know, I learned that I don't think there is any other national poet's writings in history that hold a grip on modern audiences as much as Shakespeare poetry does. I don't want to do any spoiler alerts and give away what we found on the trip or what we taped in the programs, but I just want you to know it was a fantastic trip. It was very educational for me, and I want to bring the experiences I had to you as soon as possible. Now, in defense of Ben, I do want to come back to Ben Franklin and actually several other founding fathers related to the subject of freedom of speech in a future program. So we're not quite done with Ben yet. Don't throw your autobiography away. We want you to keep and hold on to that anyway. But we will be using a new book for that future program, and the title of that book is Revolutionary Dissent by Stephen D. Solomon. And I'm even going to try, if I can, to get a live interview with him, or maybe I should say a tape an interview with him. So that's going to be an interesting radio program when we get to that.
You're listening to Just the Best Literature with Dennis Leap on 101.3 KPCG.
On October 24th, 1788, Ben discussed in a letter to the Duc de La Rochefoucauld his purpose for writing the autobiography. Let me give you a quote from an author. His name is Mark Skousen, and he did write a book called The Completed Autobiography. And it's really, he just took a lot of things from Ben Franklin's journals and his letters. But here's what Ben wrote to the Duke about his autobiography. And remember, listeners, that autobiography was really a favorite book of the French. But here's a quote from that letter. Ben says he wrote the book to benefit the young reader by showing him from my example and my success in emerging from poverty and acquiring some degree of wealth, power, and reputation, the advantages of certain modes of conduct which I observed and of avoiding the errors which were prejudicial to me. And so essentially what we have in the autobiography is largely it's an account of Ben Franklin's private life as really just a young man. And at that time, he was pursuing financial independence. He was developing and he was maintaining friendships. He was helping to improve the community. But we know that the autobiography does not discuss his later political life. And so this new book, or our newer book, I should say, The Completed Autobiography, actually goes into that political life. And again, I think sometime in the future, we'll probably use parts of that as well. But it is interesting that a large part of what's really important about this first autobiography, or maybe we should say the early autobiography, is Ben Franklin's desire to really achieve moral perfection. And that's what's most important. That's what is most important, I believe, for you, our listeners. Now, for today's program, what I want to do is I want to focus on three of Ben Franklin's virtues. And you remember there are 12, and actually he added a 13th one. But I really just want to focus on three of those. And I believe Franklin's early life is a sterling example of these virtues, these three virtues. And I'll just give them to you. Here's what they are: frugality, industry, and sincerity. Now, last week on the Trumpet Daily, Mr. Stephen Flurry did talk quite a bit about the loss of moral virtue in our society and what it's doing to our world. And so this program is really going to tie in very well with that program. I mean, our society today is so sick, and people are just really suffering. And why are they suffering? Well, really, it's a lack of virtue. It's a lack of pursuing moral virtues. And, you know, that's why Ben actually went into the whole idea of getting behind this, the whole program of establishing moral virtues. He wanted to be a good citizen. And then, you know, he listed the 12 virtues. Of course, he wanted to be very productive in his life. He wanted to be industrious. And so it's very important today that we get back to these things. Now, in the 19th century, as we've said on previous programs, this book was really popular. Almost every young person, and I think even globally we could say that, was into reading this book, and especially this section on attaining moral perfection and how to really work out a good schedule. Now, the first 12 of the virtues that he lists on that list were very important to him. He was very serious about this. He even said it was a bold and arduous project to arrive at moral perfection. And for those that are using the Dover, that's page 63. We also know from the autobiography that Ben wanted to write a book on the art of virtue with the idea of educating all people to become virtuous citizens. And he really had a global worldview. And of course, we know from what Mr. Stephen Flurry just said last week on the Trumpet Daily is that even de Tocqueville and some of these people that studied early America, they knew that America was great because of its virtuous citizens. Well, America is not so great today, and we're not great because we're, well, into debt, and that is a problem we're going to discuss here in just a few minutes. But what's the real problem in America today is we don't have virtuous citizens. We don't have enough of them. And so that was the founding fathers knew that the American experiment or American democracy was going to depend on citizens that knew how to obey, well, God's law of the Ten Commandments. They knew how to, respect God and then also respect each other and love God and love each other. And it is quite interesting, and I think we've discussed this before, that there are a lot of critics that really fault this part of the autobiography. And, some people even feel it's kind of dopey. Like, why even worry about that? And, of course, that's just the modern view. Why do we need virtue? Why do we need virtue when we can have our toys, where we can have our screens, where we can go to movies, where we can escape in virtual reality machines, or we can, have our nice cars and our nice homes, and we can have our plastic credit cards where we can charge anything we want and go anywhere we want, and then maybe declare bankruptcy later. So I just want to read to you a little bit from Walter Isaacson, and he talks a little bit about this moral perfection project, and just to show you that even he is just a little bit critical. And this is from page 89 of his book called Benjamin Franklin, An American Life. We've talked about this book before. It says, Franklin's historical reputation has been largely shaped for disciples and detractors alike by his account in his autobiography of the famous project he launched to attain moral perfection. And he goes on to say, this is Isaacson's comment, it says, this rather odd endeavor, which involves sequentially practicing a list of virtues, seems at once so earnest and mechanical that one cannot help either admiring him or ridiculing him. Now, again, I have a lot of respect for Mr. Isaacson and his writing, but why would you think, or why should you think, that a plan to attain moral perfection is an odd endeavor? To me, it's like the endeavor. It's something we should all be doing. And of course, that's why we wanted to sponsor Ben Franklin's autobiography so early in our efforts here on Just the Best Literature. I mean, what's wrong with, as he says, what's wrong with sequentially practicing a list of virtues? Now, he goes on to say, as the novelist D.H. Lawrence later sneered, he made himself a list of virtues, which he trotted inside like a gray nag in a paddock. And so here's D.H. Lawrence, and of course, D.H. Lawrence is dead. And of course, Ben Franklin's dead, but D.H. Lawrence and his writings, he wrote some pretty nasty stuff. And so he probably could have practiced some moral virtues, and maybe his writings wouldn't have been so nasty. But Isaacson goes on here and says, so it's important to note the hints of irony and self-deprecation in his droll recollection written when he was 79. So there he now calls the autobiography a droll recollection. And he takes a kind of offense that Ben Franklin said he called his project the bold and arduous project of arriving at moral perfection. Now, you that have read the autobiography, you know that Ben Franklin thought that this was going to be an easy project, when essentially it was not. He found out that when you want to pursue virtue, or if you want to improve your character, it's going to take a lot of work, and it didn't go so well. And he even came back and was very tongue-in-cheek about order, and he said he really never could really achieve orderly. And of course, he was a little sloppy, but he, look at him, how much he got done. So the point is that you know, my final thoughts on the autobiography, again, part three is important for some other reasons, but part two is really something all of us really need to be concerned about. Now, let's just talk about these three virtues, and we don't have to spend a lot of time on them. But he really believed in frugality. Now, here's what he wrote about it, and it's actually, we can get more up to date with his definition. And this really applies to the whole world right now. He says, frugality, and what he wrote underneath it, and this is page 64 in the Dover. He says, make no expense but to do good and to others or yourself. That is, waste nothing. And what Ben is really talking about there is he's talking about balancing your budget or balancing your books or, you know, being responsible financially. And how many of us, myself included, are as financially responsible as we should be? I think in our society especially, it's hard to stay out of debt. And of course, there is some necessary debts if you're going to have a mortgage or if you're going to buy a car. There are certain things like that. But what about the unnecessary debt? And I think all of us at times are tempted to do things we should not do. But think how different this world would be if we were very frugal people, or if we really had attained perfection in frugality. I mean, America's debt is so catastrophically bad, it's hard to even consider. But it's not just America, it's across the world. And if you look at any of the statistics about credit card debt in this country and also in other countries in the world, it's just astronomical. It's to the point where people who actually make great incomes can't pay their bills because they've just not been frugal enough. So again, think of this in terms of what it would mean for America, what it would mean for Europe, what it would mean for the world if we had a citizenry, if we had a country full of citizens that were frugal. Well, we wouldn't be in the debt problem we're in today. And so that's, again, very important. Here's the second one that I think Ben really set an example with. If you remember, he was able, I have a second thought here about frugality, if you really think about it. I mean, just as a young man, he bought this printing shop and then was able to get out of debt. And then he was able to retire by 40, and he could go in and pursue his desire to study science. And, of course, he didn't really stop working, but he represented the state of Pennsylvania in the Continental Congress, and then he was, an ambassador to France during the Revolutionary War. And so he had achieved a certain amount of, wealth that he could actually use that time then to do other pursuits that were very valuable to this country. The second virtue there that I want to talk about is industry. And what he writes there in terms of industry is, lose no time, be always employed in something useful, cut off all unnecessary actions. And so if we look at Ben's life, the total picture is he remained industrious to the minute he died. In fact, he did want to complete this autobiography, and he was actually using his grandson as a stenographer on his deathbed, trying to get this autobiography complete. And so there was industry. He says, lose no time. And, how much of us waste time? And, of course, Mr. Stephen Fleury has been talking about this. Our namesake for Herbert W. Armstrong College, Mr. Armstrong, talked about that. We know that Jesus Christ, who is, our Savior, also our God, he didn't waste time when he was on the earth. And how many of us waste our time in doing unnecessary things? And Ben Franklin even said he didn't go to bars. He didn't go to taverns. He studied, and he listened to music. He had conversations with people that continually educated him or continued to improve him. And, I'm not saying that we shouldn't relax sometime maybe and watch a TV program or relax and maybe go to a sports game. I'm not saying that. But if that's, if that's our way of life, if we work and then come home, and if we work just to do our sports, if we work just to watch television, well, then we're wasting time. We're not really educating ourselves. And of course, the third virtue that I think is so necessary for every citizen in this country is, use no hurtful deceit, think innocently and justly, and if you speak, speak accordingly. And basically what he's saying there is, as good citizens of not only the United States but of the world, we should not be liars. And how many people in the government are lying to us? How many people, even in science, are lying to us? Mr. Stephen Fleury, again, just brought this out on the Trumpet Daily, that even in the world of science and the ideas of they're doing all these studies, there's so much pressure on the scientists to produce that most of their studies are not factual. They're full of lies. And people aren't even catching it. So it is quite interesting. We should be sincere. We should be truthful people. What about our media today? I mean, it's just amazing how they just promote lies. And, of course, this whole farce of a presidential, campaign is just amazing. It's Americans are being lied to all the time, and there's all these rumors about, how the candidates would work with the newspapers to let out a false information to influence the voting. And, they suspect that Hillary Clinton just did that recently, saying that she attained the nomination before, some of the voting was done, to, put Bernie Sanders at a disadvantage. Now, that's not sincere. That's not really, as Ben Franklin said, that's certainly not being a virtuous citizen, and yet these people want to lead us, and they want to be our president. So the autobiography is very important. I'd like you to keep studying it. And, you know, don't feel like we've covered everything that we can cover. There is the onus on you to do some extra study in yourself, but don't just put it away because we're finished with it. Keep working with it. Build yourself a schedule. Get more productive. Be frugal in your life. You know, get yourself out of debt. Be industrious. Work harder. And you're going to benefit just like Ben Franklin did. Now, I have a very special thing I want to do today. We have just completed and redesigned the autobiography of Herbert W. Armstrong. And, of course, he is our namesake. And I told you very early on that he read Ben Franklin's autobiography at least three times as a young boy. And it certainly made him industrious. And he certainly worked hard all of his life till he was age 93. And the Worldwide Church of God, when he was pastor general of that church, had attained an amazing status in this world. So we are going to offer you the autobiography today. It is free for you. And what we've done is we've combined volumes 1 and 2 into one beautiful volume. It is paperback. And if you would like to have a copy of that, again, we'll send it to you at no charge. The number for you to call is our literature request line. The number is 1-800-772-8577. Or if you didn't get that down, you can write to me at jbl@pcog.org. Now you'll have to give me your full name and address, and I'll make sure that you get a copy. And so it is very exciting for me to be able to offer that to you. Now remember, if you have any questions or comments for me, you can email me at jbl@pcog.org. You can also follow JBL on Twitter at JBLiterature1. Now, also, you should be well into Shakespeare's play, Hamlet. Now, if you're just tuning in, you can purchase this play from Amazon. I would like you to get the Pelican Shakespeare paperback edition. This publication has the very helpful notes and word definitions at the bottom of most of the pages. So you will really benefit from it. Now, just want you to know, I'm all charged up about Shakespeare, and I was able to see Hamlet when in England, and so I am really charged up about Hamlet. And I believe that I can help you to understand that play and the importance of that play. So, thanks for joining me today, and until next time, keep reading.
You've been listening to Just the Best Literature on Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG, streaming online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.